Lesson 15. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Early American settlers, alone at night in their log cabins, far from their nearest neighbors, must have had a sense of foreboding as they heard the howling of wolves in the darkness. Lurid stories of savage attacks on humans had fired their imaginations, while phrases such as keeping the wolf from the door, along with tales like Little Red Riding Hood, may have perpetuated the belief that the wolf was a ferocious beast who made unprovoked attacks on humans. This fear of wolves is quite irrational. Wolves do kill to live, but they do not kill humans. Every story of a wolf attacking humans has been discredited by those who have studied the subject. One researcher investigating the behavior of Arctic wolves in northern Canada removed a pup from its mother and took it into a nearby tent. Even though the mother became restive, she waited outside the tent until the pup was returned to her. The truth is that wolves are quite wary, if not completely afraid, of humans, and with good reason. During the last several hundred years, humans have encroached on their habitats and, by trapping, shooting, and poisoning, have almost completely eliminated them from the lower 48 states. Today, the gray wolf, also known as the timber wolf, is found on the North American continent only in the northern United States and Canada. In the last several decades, however, attitudes toward wolves have been changing. As people have understood that these creatures might not survive without human help, they have actively supported plans to re-establish wolves in wilderness areas where they once flourished. During the late 1980s, red wolves were successfully returned to regions of the southeastern United States where they once lived. In 1995, a 3-year project to reintroduce gray wolves to one of their original habitats began in Yellowstone National Park. To make sure these projects succeed, scientists and wildlife specialists have been studying wolves extensively. To gather information, they catch individual animals in humane traps, then fit them with collars containing radio transmitters before releasing them. These transmitters help the scientists ascertain the movements of wolf packs. Other observers keep the animals under surveillance from aircraft flying overhead. From their observations, scientists know that a wolf pack usually consists of 5 to 15 animals and may need anywhere from 40 to 400 square miles in order to maintain itself, the size depending on the number of wolves in the pack and the amount of game available. In their continual search for food, wolves demonstrate tremendous stamina, maintaining a steady pace for hours at a time if necessary. They show amazing intelligence as they work in close cooperation with each other to bring down their prey, which includes elk, moose, caribou, and deer. By culling herds of old or sick animals, wolves perform a valuable service, strengthening the herd by leaving more grazing areas for the remaining animals. If a herd becomes much reduced, wolves will desist from preying on it until its size has increased to a normal level. Wolves usually mate for life. They are very protective of their young, caring for them until they are fully grown at about 2 years. A strict social order is maintained within the pack, and all defer to the leader, who alone decides when and where to hunt. Scientists have observed that wolves communicate in various ways. Whimpering indicates restlessness or hunger, while snarling is used to put members of the pack in their place if they become too assertive, almost like a parent chastising an unruly child. As for the howling in the night that struck terror into the American settlers' hearts, it was probably a warning to other wolves that their scent had been detected and that they were invading territory that was already occupied. It did not mean that an attack on humans was imminent. As a Canadian trapper is once supposed to have said, "Anyone who says he's been et by a wolf is a liar."